In the past few years, I've spoken to over 1,000 clients with a chronic disease. That's a lot. And when I just started coaching for free in 2019 and then having a donation-based program, I knew I didn't have all the answers. I knew it was hard to copy my own recovery or healing to other people. And that's because I didn't understand it fully. Sometimes you do the things that you're doing as sort of a protocol, like pacing, brain training. But despite all the things that you're doing, you're healing. That means that like 90% of the time you're doing something and it's not working at all. But it allows you to do the real healing work in the 10% of the time. So you heal despite all those things that you might think that are helping you. And that's the world upside down, right? Because when you listen to these recovery stories, when they're all complicated, they're all different, then healing is different for everyone. But what if that is not really the case? So the big difference to what I'm doing right now is that first I have talked to so many different clients. And then I made the strategy. So in the beginning, I was just sort of like trying to help, trying to see if we can figure it out. But when time was passing along, I got a bigger understanding. And I noticed as well so many similarities. Like the story that you get from someone who has a chronic disease is like, let's say 80% of the time, it's a textbook story. So although you might think that you're completely unique, I've spoken to probably many hundreds who have the exact same story as you have. And that stirs it upside down. What if it's not just bad luck or a coincidence that you develop a chronic disease? That doesn't mean that it is your fault. Because if you would look at it from that perspective, then you feel like you're being punished by life somehow. And this is your own fault then, because it's not out of the blue. I don't see it that way. In fact, I see it as a healing thing. Although the healing process is stuck when you're having a chronic disease. So what we see is that almost everyone was living with excessive thoughts, extreme coping mechanisms like excessive sports, pleasing, working very hard, being chronically stressed. And people do that because of trauma. So they suppress an emotion as a little child that they can't handle because there is no co-regulation. And over time, the body is becoming a difficult place to live in. It doesn't feel at ease. And that's because at an unconscious level, you're resisting certain emotions. And you might not feel them, but they are there. It's sort of like the fridge. The fridge is very annoying when you have a bad fridge and it makes all these zooming noises. But after a while, you don't hear it anymore. And the same counts for these suppressed emotions. So although you might be nervous the entire time because of your fridge, it is still there, you know? So that's the phase before a chronic disease. At a certain moment in life, people reach safety. They reach a good moment. They reach sort of a holiday, maybe love, maybe safety, financial abundance, you name it. Then the body can switch off the sympathetic state of the nervous system. That's the fight or flight mechanism. And we have the fight or flight mechanism because we are in survival mode. We're either running away from danger or we're fighting danger. But the danger is coming from within. It's the emotions, it's the uncomfortable state that we're in. So we're living in a state of resistance against our own body's messages, emotions, and feelings. But we do it at an unconscious level, and it's a pattern that grew when you were a child. Maybe big trauma, More often than not, it's small trauma. It's a tendency to, whenever there is a difficult feeling, such as fear and anger, to then calm yourself down, like nothing is going wrong here. And that's okay. You can squeeze the emotions back in your body. But at a certain moment in life, it has to come up. So when you relax, because it's finally time to relax after a difficult moment in life, and this is, by the way, not the case for everyone. I think this is the case for 90% of all the clients that I spoke. So that's around 900 people now. They get into a good phase, they relax. And this relaxing already tells you a little bit. Normally, they are always a little bit stressed. That means they're squeezing the emotions and stress back into their bodies. At the same time, the immune system is also repressed. Because when you're in survival mode, who cares about an immune system? You need to run away for your life. Probably run away from yourself and fight yourself or fight danger. So that's a sympathetic mode of the nervous system. Then you stop it and you automatically land into the parasympathetic state of the nervous system. This is the place where you feel calm, peaceful, where you rest, but also the part where the body can restore itself. So maybe you've got all kinds of pathogens in your body, like bacteria and well, fungus and etc. And then the immune system is starting a healing process. Let's get it out of your body. Maybe you'll develop a fever, or maybe a cough, or maybe something different. And that's the body initiating a healing process. A high fever will also stir up the emotions that you have stored in your body. You have stored them in your cells, in your tissue, your fascia, and it's time for them to come up. What happens then is that an emotion tends to be processed before it leaves your body. And this processing is done via your organs. Some say that your organs are primarily there to process your emotions. And when your emotions are there to be processed, they tend to stay around an organ. In this moment, the organ has less capacity. And you will probably get some symptoms with that organ. Maybe bad digestion. Maybe breathing difficulties. Maybe when you stand up, your heart rate goes all over the place. Maybe you'll faint. You name it. So these are organ symptoms. This is an indication that we should process the emotion instead of just letting it lingering around there. It needs to be processed. The average emotion lasts around 90 seconds, let's say a few minutes longer if it's a bit more suppressed. And then after that processing time, which can take then less than 5 minutes, the emotion gets out of your body and the symptom that you are experiencing on the organs will also disappear. But as long as you don't do that, you have those symptoms. So people have POTS for years on end. It's like the heart is just waiting there for this, for the emotion to be released. At the same time, there are also other symptoms. When the brain perceives these emotions as a danger, you can experience mind-body symptoms, fatigue, pain, depersonalization, vertigo, burning mouth, back pain, nausea, you name it. And these symptoms are there to protect you. But to protect you from what? From yourself. So you're fighting yourself in that way. But what you didn't know is that processing the emotion that is causing the fatigue only lasts, let's say, 5 minutes. And in the release program, we take 30 minutes of time to dive in to release it, because you know you need some time to connect with the emotions. So let's say 30 minutes of work and then the symptoms can be gone. That's a lot better than having to wait for years on end for the symptoms to improve magically. And then you experience all kinds of ups and downs, When you calm the nervous system down, your symptoms get a little bit better. And when you get very stressed, they get a little bit worse. And then you're just all over the place. The emotions are there, but you're not feeling them. So let's say you have stored a lot of fear in your body. Fear activates the fight or flight mechanism, flight, needing to run away, but you couldn't. So you entered the freeze response of the nervous system. This fear is still there, and right now it's a time for you to process it, to really feel the fear through, and maybe even to simulate the fight or flight response in a way that it resolves and completes the stress response. And then it's just gone. But if you don't do that, you are unconsciously very afraid. But about what? Then you can project this fear on your symptoms and life, probably, because these symptoms will prevent you from living a normal life because they're so extreme. That's exactly the purpose, because otherwise you won't be distracted from your emotions. So you can become afraid of the symptoms, but also afraid of the consequence, like I won't be able anymore to work or to pay the rent or to cook, to see my mother, to be a good father, etc., etc., etc. And some of these cases that you won't be able to do anymore are coping mechanisms, like being a good father, being a good boy, achieving, performing, pleasing, working very hard. So you won't be able to do the coping mechanisms anymore. And this is sort of a weird system right now, right? Because on one hand, the symptoms are trying to prevent you from feeling it. But on the other hand, it's also increasing it. So now you're going into a downward spiral. Instead of letting it go, you're holding more and more and more inside of you, and you need more and more symptoms. And maybe you experience more organ symptoms as well. And this is what I call stuckness. So I believe a chronic disease is stuckness. And I don't believe you can heal overnight from everything. Because if you had a tendency to suppress emotions for, let's say, 40 years, this is not going to be resolved in one day or one week. So I recommend people to do this process, this release process, for a minimum a year. And in that first year, you will probably have some difficulties in the beginning with having a full release. Maybe you get a partial release. But a partial release will make the brain freak out even more, so you need more symptoms. But if you do the preparation work, you'll be able to dive in deeper and deeper and deeper till the point comes, maybe within the program or maybe after a few months, that you can have a full release and experience an immediate dissipation of your symptoms. So they'll be just gone. This gives you confidence. Doesn't mean that your symptoms will never come back. It probably will. And I want it to come back, actually, so that you can remove another layer and another layer and another layer. And preferably this doesn't take so long, right? So if you have a good week after every symptom release, then in that week you're not making progress. And the same counts if you're having a bad week for a week, then you're not making progress. But if you have a good day for one day, something comes up, you have a bad day, you release it instantly, you instantly have a good day again. And then we trigger something, and that will bring up some emotions. As a consequence, more symptoms. You have a bad day again, or a bad half a day, or a bad hour. You're going to lie down, do the release work, 30 minutes. Make sure you got a full release. You won't always manage, but at a certain point after a lot of experience, you will manage. That's progress. That's removing layer after layer after layer after layer. And I'm sorry, I can't make this more beautiful than it is. I can sell it into a magic process. But what we're doing is we are releasing stress from the body, and we have to follow the speed from the body, and we have to work with that, whatever is inside of the body. And what is inside of the body is a consequence of what you put there. That's just what it is. And that doesn't mean that this is all bad. You're suffering. Because I see this as a beautiful period in life. I mean, at least if you give up resistance. A period where you reconnect with yourself, letting go of old stress without making stories, without having lots of thoughts about it. And then after a release, you just feel so grounded, a silent mind, so much better. So you really learn about yourself again. When you suppress emotions, you let go of your boundaries. But when you process the emotions, you get your boundaries. And the boundaries are there to make you experience a beautiful life. So if you, you know, like if you don't want to be angry the whole time, maybe you need to move away from someone that is hurting you. And the more you listen to these emotions, the more it will guide you to a good place. We all want to feel good, right? And we don't want to feel bad. But the feelings come together. They're a package deal. If you feel bad, then that is because something isn't right. If you process the thing that is not right, and if you implement after that a boundary in your life, or if you move slowly towards a place that you want, you will have better feelings over time. That means that you can't feel good without feeling bad. Whenever a client mentions that they don't feel good, they're anxious, they do brain retraining, and they get in contact with a good memory. Maybe a good feeling from childhood. Then to me, that is ridiculous. It might sound, for the mind, it might sound like a good idea. I'm not feeling good. Let's pretend to feel good. But there is the feeling, let's say fear. You suppress the fear, you become anxious. You get lots of thoughts. You suppress the thoughts, you get symptoms and emotions. Then you'll even feel more disturbed. What do you want to do then? Do you want to suppress that again? Yes, but I ought to be happy. No. No. That's not how it works. You can feel better once you have processed the emotions. And once you have put in some necessary boundaries in your life, then you can feel better. But also, when you don't resist yourself anymore. Because the stress that you are experiencing is basically resisting yourself, resisting your own body, your own symptoms, your own reality. But if you surrender to that reality, then you can feel good. Despite what is going on. It's the resistance against ourselves that is making things a lot worse. So does this count for every chronic disease? Because I'm mostly talking to people with fibromyalgia, chronic fatigue syndrome, chronic Lyme, long COVID, but also people with MS. And occasionally I speak to people who are having another chronic disease like rheumatoid arthritis, Guillain-Barre, sorry, I have to think about it. And therefore, I'm not completely confident to say something general for these chronic diseases. Because it's one thing to have an idea or to replicate your own recovery or healing journey. But it's a different thing when you have really talked and tried to understand thousands of people. Hundreds of people. So I have to be a little bit careful with stating things about these other conditions. But I believe it's all more or less the same thing. If you read the work from Gabor Mate, he writes down that every disease has a personality type. It's very interesting, right? They could predict breast cancer with a 96% accuracy. ALS with an 86% accuracy. So there are certain types that develop these diseases. And that already tells you something, right? So if the personality type is a part of developing a condition, then we know that the personality types is basically just a collection of behavior. What kind of behavior then? And there is exactly the answer again. Coping mechanisms, pleasing, performing, perfectionism, achieving, convincing others, you name it. All of these things are actions that we do to overcompensate or to deny a feeling that is inside of ourselves. So we basically putting ourselves into a fight or flight mode to fight or to run away from ourselves. But sometimes the behavior from coping mechanisms is normal. We want it that way in our society, like overthinking. It's like this being celebrated. But we have to understand that society is not natural. It might be normal, but it doesn't have to be natural. I think that Gabor Mate also wrote a book with his son called The Myth of Normal. It already tells you a little bit about where you need to look and find your answers. So, to summarize everything, people were living in stress. 80 or 90% of people had a good face. For some people, it was just too much the stress, and the body decided that it was time to purge everything out of the body. And sometimes this happens then, after a good face, you get a viral infection or something like that. And then you get symptoms. Mind-body symptoms to protect you against your emotions, and organ symptoms, for example. And there are a few other types of symptoms that I don't talk about right now in this podcast. And if you want to go through this phase, then there is really only one option left. That's release. Get it out of your system. So if you're interested in that, then consider joining the release program. And thank you very much for listening. I wish you a beautiful day.